This morning I'd like to elaborate a little bit on what a lie is, on whether or not it is always wrong to lie, and whether or not we can lie to ourselves. So rather than just giving you my own just initial thoughts on the subject, I'm going to try and draw on the thoughts of St. Augustine. I don't know that I fully agree with Augustine, but I think he's a very good place to start. And maybe in the future we can do a sermon where we actually look at maybe Aquinas' view, Newman's view, and Immanuel Kant's view, do some compare and contrast. My interest in this topic was stirred by a book called Lying, An Augustinian Theology of Duplicity, which was here. You can get it on CBD for $2.99. It's a very good book if you guys are interested in this topic. The Holy Spirit had already been convicting me of my own tendency to be dishonest, but this book helped to clarify and sharpen my vision so that I began to see more clearly just how deep and wide my dishonesty is. All of us know that it's wrong to lie, but few of us see how easy it is to lie and how entrenched we are in our own lies. In fact, if you made it your life's ambition to never lie, you would probably be one of the most socially awkward people around. Many of our social graces rely on our ability to distort our true thoughts. Even if we think someone smells funny, we usually shy away from telling them this. Anyone who just blurted out his or her thoughts without any sort of filter would be considered rude. So imagine what it would be like if we had no filter and just said anything that came to mind. A conversation might go something like this. Joe comes up to me and says, "Matt, do you think I'm a good singer?" I would say, "No, I've been meaning to tell you that I wish you'd spare us from having to hear you sing." Joe says, in response, he says, "Well, maybe you just have bad taste." I would respond, "Well, I guess that's possible. More likely, it's just you're a bad singer." This conversation most likely end in hurt feelings, distance in our relationship, and most likely Joe would be singing louder in an even a more annoying tone out of spite. What's more likely is that the conversation would go something like this. Joe asks, "Matt, do you think I'm a good singer?" My response would be, "Joe, you make such a joyful noise to the Lord. It's wonderful to be singing next to you in church. You have such a great heart for the Lord." Joe responds, "Thanks, Matt. You're such a good Christian." So, second conversation gives us a win-win situation, right? I don't have to tell Joe that I don't like his singing. Joe's feelings aren't hurt. In fact, Joe is encouraged to sing more in church. And even if I don't really like Joe singing, it's not the big deal for me to have to listen to him. And finally, Joe and I are friends in the end of the conversation. He's even given me compliments about my own Christian walk. What could possibly be wrong with that? Well, I think we might know what's wrong with that. What might be wrong with it is that it might be a form of lying. I think most of us have wondered about the moral status of our polite falsehoods and our white lies. We need to ask ourselves if the latter conversation entails a form of lying. We regularly soften our true thoughts about someone in order to avoid offending them. Well, today I want to ask whether or not it's okay to do that. Is it ever okay to mislead people about our true thoughts? Is it okay to channel a conversation away from its original direction in order to avoid hurting someone's feelings? Or we could ask another difficult question. Is it okay to tell a flat-out lie in order to protect someone or protect their life even? Again, I think most of us at one time or another have asked ourselves these types of questions, but have we taken the time to really think through these questions in order to come up with a coherent answer? If we're reflective at all, and I think if we're honest with ourselves, I think most of us would have to admit that we have used all sorts of tactics to help us to avoid telling people what we really think. We might want to hide our thoughts because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings. We might distort the truth in order to look better than we are. We might tell a flat-out lie because we don't want to be pestered by the effects of telling the truth. We have many different motives for avoiding an honest reply. As Christians, we should be the first to confess this and work to come in line with what is right and good. So how do we do this? Do we just muster up enough power and march through life speaking only things and plainly honest? Do we stop caring about what we say affects other people? Is that the solution? Is that the answer to this problem? Well, before we try to answer this question, let's look more closely at what a lie is and what a lie is not. First, let's start with three questions. What is a lie? That's what we're asking. Is it always wrong to lie? And can you lie to yourself? First, if we were to go to the person on the street and ask these three questions, we might get responses something like this. What is a lie? Oh, well, a lie is when you tell someone else something that isn't true. Okay, so what is a lie to the person on the street? Telling someone something that isn't true. Is it always wrong to lie? Well, usually yes, but there are some cases where it might not be. For example, if a Nazi asks you where you're hiding Jews in your house, and you lie to protect them, then that's morally permissible. Some of us might even include white lies in the category of things that are morally permissible. How about, can you lie to yourself? The response might be, of course you can. People lie to themselves all the time. We tell ourselves that we are virtuous when we're full of vice. We tell ourselves that we know more than others when we're really ignorant. Okay, so that's kind of the initial response we might get. It might surprise you to know that St. Augustine thinks that none of the above answers are correct. For him, a lie is not to say something false. He thinks that people can say untrue things without lying. Also, Augustine places a universal ban on lying. So in the example we just gave with the Nazis, if the Nazis come, you can't lie to them, for Augustine. Unlike the consequentialist or graded absolutist, Augustine says it is never morally permissible to lie. Concerning our ability to lie to ourselves, Augustine's view is more grand and nuanced than the answer we just gave. It's not just a flat-out, no, we can't lie to ourselves, but it's a very intricate view of how we lie to ourselves, which includes an entire psychology. So if lying is not saying something that is false, what does it mean to lie? Before we answer that question, let's explain why Augustine thinks that you can be truthful even when you say something false. If I were to tell you that the president of the United States was Johnny Appleseed, I'd be telling you something that is false, right? But if I really believe that the first president was Johnny Appleseed, would I be lying? Augustine would say, no, you're not lying. You're just stupid, maybe, or ignorant. It might be wrong about who the first president was, but I'm not lying. Perhaps I've just been misinformed in first grade or something like that. Augustine says that in order for us to lie, I would have to know the first president of the United States was George Washington, but say the first president was Johnny Appleseed. So a lie is when there's a discontinuity between what I think and what I say. It's not merely saying a falsehood. In fact, you could say something that's completely true and yet be a liar. If you say that Albert Einstein was a genius, but in your heart you think he was a moron, you'd be affirming something true, but you'd still be lying. Your statement that Einstein was a genius is objectively true, but when you say it, it's a lie because you don't believe that it's true. What we can gather from this is that the lie requires us to say something. In order to lie, you must say something that is inconsistent with what you believe to be true. So looking at our above examples, if I tell Joe that he's a good singer when I really think he sounds like a wounded animal, I'm lying to Joe. I don't really think he, well. I got convicted in the middle of my, no. If I tell Brandon that I've read a particular book on natural law, and in fact I haven't read that book, then I'm lying to him. So the answer to some of our earlier questions appear to be answered. Is it wrong to tell a white lie? For Augustine, yes, it is. Is it wrong to tell a lie to protect the life of someone else? Yeah, it's even wrong then. Is it wrong to divert a question from its original course in order to avoid being dishonest with something? Maybe. It might be wrong, but not because it's necessarily a lie. Okay. So as long as you say something that is what you believe to be true, you're not lying. However, just because you don't technically lie doesn't mean that if you say the truth, you're saying something that's good. There still may be something wrong with it. It just may not be a lie. If a lie is to say something that is contrary to what you think, and if it is always wrong to lie, then it seems to follow that I'm obligated to tell Joe that he's a bad singer when he asks me. But who wants to come to a conclusion like this? Think of all the socially awkward positions this would put us in. I'd be constantly offending people. Even worse than that, if I have to tell people the truth all the time, people are going to start to see what a despicable person I am. If asked, I'll have to tell my coworker that I think he's incompetent. I'll have to tell my son that I'd rather watch TV than play with him. I'll have to admit that most sermons bore me to tears. I'll have to admit that I find conversation with a lot of people almost completely uninteresting. Since I have an inclination to want, Jill's like, oh gosh, did she just say that? Since I have an inclination to want people to like me, and since I want to be on friendly terms with as many people as possible, I often want my own bad thoughts and attitudes to keep them to myself. being completely honest would expose how depraved my inner life is. Most of us are so used to keeping our thoughts to ourselves that we don't even think about the process in which we sort out thoughts that we want to express to others, the ones that we don't want to express to others, and then the ones we choose to lie about. Every conversation we get into, we select some things to say and select other things to leave out. And we usually choose nice things to say. Because we do this, we start to identify with what we express externally rather than what we think internally. So we start to think that we're really very nice and good people. Why? Because we tell ourselves, look at all of the nice things I said to so-and-so, even though inside I really think the opposite. I'm such a nice person because I said these nice things to them. Okay? We can become deluded about who we are and start identifying with what we say to people rather than what we think about people. Now, granting, I'm not saying that we're all holding back this tidal wave of resentment and ill will when we talk to people. I'm just saying that if we tried really hard to be completely honest with people for a couple of weeks straight, I think that we'd be surprised at what we would find out about ourselves. We might find that we're not as loving as we thought we were. We might find that we're not as patient as we thought we were. I think it was about 6 months ago that the Holy Spirit began to convict me of my own dishonesty. It started with me being convicted about a small lie. I was talking with one of my friends about natural law, of all topics to be lying about, when he asked me if I read a particular book on natural law. Without batting an eye, I said, oh, I've read that book, it was great. That was a complete fabrication. I'd heard of the book, but I hadn't read it. I don't even think I read the table of contents of the book, but I had told him that I'd read the book. I'd heard of the book. I realized that I had lied to him and felt bad about it, but I didn't confess this to the person. I just lied. Instead, I let him go on thinking that I had read the book. Why would I do something like that? Well, in this case, it was pretty clear. I didn't want my friend to think that I didn't know what I was talking about or that I was unfamiliar with a standard work in the field of natural law. After all, that's one of my topics, right? That's one of the things I'm very interested in, is natural law. I explained natural law to other people. How could I not have read a major work on that topic? Ultimately, not only did I lie about reading a particular book, I also gave my friend the impression that I was somewhat knowledgeable in the area of natural law. I had also given other people that impression. I may have been more familiar with it than some people, but I've only read a few books on the subject. Only two of them were scholarly, and one of them I only read about two chapters of. So this by no means makes me an authority on the topic. So at a minimum, I lied about reading a book. I deceived my friend about my level of competency. This lie and deception took place because of a felt need that I had. Namely, I wanted to be accepted, admired, or whatever, thus revealing a further immaturity on my part. It's not that my wanting to be accepted by others is immature, it's that I wanted to be accepted by others more than I wanted to be a man of integrity. Most of my lies along these lines are more subtle. Someone might be explaining something to me, and then they ask, "You understand what I'm talking about, right?" And of course, my response is, "Oh yes, I understand. Obviously, I understand what you're talking about." When in fact, I have no idea what you're talking about. I could have been lying so as not to bog down the conversation, or I could have been doing it because I didn't want to look stupid. Either way, the response was a lie. As a computer guy, it's easy to lie to people to get out of being accountable for your work. Sometimes someone might say, "I thought you were going to fix my computer yesterday." In reality, I may have forgotten all about the computer. But typically, a typical lying response might go something like this: "Well, I started to work on it, but I realized that you had a bad part. That part was on order, and as soon as it gets here, I'll install it and get you up and running again." And I have all sorts of computer jargon that I can use to manipulate people that way. And they wouldn't know any better because they don't know about computers. In reality, the problem may have been completely unrelated to bad hardware, but I replace the hardware, make the real fix, and show them that the computer's working, knowing full well that I had replaced, that they think I had to replace hardware to fix the problem. They give me praise for my work, which in reality was negligent, and I go about my business with high customer service ratings. So, in the above case, there were several wrongs done in addition to lying. Lying acted as the means to further other bad ends in myself. An unneeded part was ordered, costing the company, or in fact, in my case, the taxpayers, you guys, money. The user had to wait an additional day in order to get her computer up and running, which caused other people to have to wait on her. Additionally, I learned that you can get away with being disorganized. I also learned that positing a false problem works, thus encouraging me to lie in the future. Those lies then support and contribute my habit of being a lazy, disorganized liar. So we all know that lying is bad, but what we don't often realize is that evil comes in clusters. As I mentioned earlier, there's hardly ever a time when you commit a single evil act. Most, if not all, evil acts are paired with other evil acts, or at least result in other evils. I think this is an important point, and it would probably be good to do a whole additional sermon just on how evil comes in clusters and how they're related to how evil, different vices and evils relate to each other. But for now, let's get back to explaining what a lie is and why Augustine thinks it's always wrong to lie. We said earlier that a lie consists in saying something that is inconsistent with what you think. So at the heart of a lie is a duplicitous soul or a divided soul. For Augustine, a lie is always intentional. You never accidentally lie. So lying is an act of the will. And since lying is an act of the will, it produces duplicity within our soul. It seems to follow that lying is the intentional dividing of our souls. However, this conclusion doesn't follow. We are dividing our souls when we lie, but it is not our intention to divide our souls when we lie. Our intention is to get out of trouble, or to avoid hurting someone's feelings, or to appear to be better than we are. But the intention to avoid getting into trouble is not the same thing as the intention to divide our souls. So lying may not be an intentional dividing of our own souls, but it is always the result. It always results in a further division of our soul. Sorry. What this shows is that lying cannot strictly be identified with any single intention. Most people think that lying must be accompanied by the intention to deceive, but as I said before, we can have all sorts of reasons for lying, only one of which is to deceive. That being said, we hardly ever lie for the sake of deceiving someone. We almost always lie for what we think is a good reason. This should make us hesitate when we try to justify our lies by saying, "I meant well." I often hear people say things like this. Some common justifications for lying are, "I was just trying to protect you." "I didn't want you to have to worry about it." "I didn't think you would understand." "I didn't want you to be angry with me." Or, "I was embarrassed." Right? We probably use those kinds of explanations or reasons for why we lie all the time. And usually we do it without even thinking about it. Now, you might rightly say that these were your reasons for lying, but you may not rightly think that these are appropriate justifications for lying. Why not? In response to what we've just said, someone here might say, surely there's times when a white lie is okay, or surely lying to save the life of another person is permissible. A good portion of us have gone to SES, right? Graded absolutism. Seems like there's at least some times when it's permissible to lie. But before we make that determination, let's look a little bit closer are some of the reasons that Augustine gives for his universal ban on lying. The first reason is metaphysical and has to do with his view of sin. Sin in general disorders the soul and brings it closer to non-being. This doesn't mean that if you sin a whole lot, you'll start to look like Casper the Ghost. Augustine doesn't think that you can throw a hammer at a really sinful person and the hammer will just pass through them like a cloud of smoke. In order to understand what Augustine is saying here, you have to know something about his view of creation. Augustine views all of reality as being hierarchical. Angels are on the highest order of created beings. Inanimate is in the lowest order of created being. As you go from angels to dirt, you find that being has more or less order. The most unified of creating beings are the angels. Matter, on the other hand, is the least unified. By its nature, by matter's nature, it tends towards chaos and non-being. The implication here is that when man becomes ordered by obtaining virtue, he reaches closer to the higher order of reality. When he sins in general and lies in particular, he becomes more chaotic. So it is not that you become a cloud of smoke, it's that your soul disintegrates into chaos. The picture of this would be that your soul starts to look like a leper. And just as a leprous body degenerates and tends towards disorder, so your soul degenerates when you sin. If you watch horror movies, evil creatures are almost always hideous looking, or if they are beautiful, underneath they're really ugly, like on a TV show V. You know, they look really beautiful and you tear off their skin and they're these ugly creatures that try to kill and destroy people and whatnot. So underneath the beautiful shell of the body lies this... Oh, I just said that, sorry. In reality, fallen angels are probably beautiful. We depict them as ugly because it best represents the decay the decayed and ugly state of their being. Trains annoy me. That's just true. I want to be dishonest with you about that. With this in mind, it becomes easy to see why Augustine would place a universal ban on lying. To lie is to become less. To speak the truth is to become more. To lie is to tend toward the city of man. To speak the truth is to tend toward the city of God. Ultimately, to lie is to tend toward chaos and non-being. The second reason for Augustine's ban has to do with his view of owning your speech versus disowning your speech. As you recall before, we said that in order to lie, it requires that you say something, and that saying something is incongruous with what you think. He says, as a created being, it's my duty to conform myself to reality, not conform reality to me. Augustine sees truth as a gift from God. God gives us truth, and how we handle this truth displays the type of stewards we are. Good stewards take good care of what has been entrusted to them. When I give a gift to Wesley this Christmas, he has several ways of responding to that gift. He can open it, present the present and be excited about it. He can take it out of the box and play with it and enjoy it. Or he can open it and throw it on the ground and demand something else. Usually he demands juice when we offer him something that he doesn't like. It's like his universal, like, sort of, if he's mad, he like starts crying and yelling for juice. He's like, juice, juice. I have no idea why he does that, but it's really funny. So as a parent, I want to give Wesley good things. I also want Wesley to use and enjoy those gifts that I give him. If he does not do that, I'm disappointed. When it comes to the gifts that God has given us, we don't have the moral right to refuse them or to be poor stewards of those gifts. We have free will and can refuse those gifts, but the fact that we can disown the gifts does not give us the right to do it. If God has given us speech to express our inner thoughts, then the proper use of our speech is only found in using it the way God intended it to be used. According to Augustine, when we lie, we take our speech captive and use it in a way that was not intended to be used. Augustine views a Christian as one who receives good gifts from God and then rewraps those good gifts and gives it to others. So at this point, you might have the following questions or objections. You'd say, look, I understand that sin generally divides the soul and makes it ugly, and I can even understand how God could be upset about the misuse of the gifts that he gives us, but how does it follow that we should never lie, right? In fact, it seems like we could give some examples that show that it would be okay to lie in certain circumstances, even given what Augustine believes. First, even if lying brings harm to the soul, making it ugly, good people sometimes get hurt in the process of doing good, right? The man who throws himself in front of a bullet harms his own body in order to obtain the higher good of protecting someone else. If you get drunk and ask your friend to shoot you in the belly because it would be kind of fun to watch, then that's obviously evil, not to mention stupid. But willingly getting shot in the belly in order to save the life of another person is permissible because of the good that it brings about, namely the saving of someone else's life. So why can't lying be likened to this? Why can't we say, yes, I agree that lying harms my soul, but isn't it okay for me to allow harm to come to myself if that harm brings about someone else's good? Isn't it okay for me to allow a little harm to my own soul in order to save, allow for the good fellowship with other people, or in the example of saving someone's life? Augustine's response would be a resounding no. It's not okay to lie, even in those cases. Says, unlike the body, it is never okay to allow harm to come to your soul. Harming the body, especially in cases like the ones we mentioned, requires largeness of soul. The man who throws himself in front of a gun to save someone else does so because his soul is healthy. So the analogy between the bodily harm and the harm of the soul does not work for Augustine. As we mentioned earlier, sin is always moves us away from God, not only relationally, but metaphysically as well. This is never acceptable to God. Thus, sin is never acceptable to God. You might still ask, okay, it's never permissible to sin, but how does it follow that lying is always wrong, right? We can find answers to this in our definition of what a lie is. A lie, by definition, is a rupture between our thought and speech. It is essentially disruptive and damaging to the soul. To lie is to create a gap between our intellect and our actions. This brings about chaos we spoke of earlier. In fact, a lot of times in apologetic circles, we have this sense that our learning somehow separates us from our acting. We learn a whole lot, but then we're unable to connect that with the way we live. How does the cosmological argument influence the way I live? How does my moral argument influence the way I live? Okay? Part of the reason that gap exists is because we're dishonest with ourselves. And we don't reflect and take time to know when we're honest and when we're not honest. Again, that would actually be a whole nother sermon. So God works to mend our souls and unify our being, and anything that frustrates that work is evil and should be done away with. What about Augustine's view of truth as a gift from God? Remember, we likened it to him giving us a gift and us using that properly or improperly. How does that lead to the conclusion that we should always tell the truth? You might say, if my son has a baseball bat, gets a baseball bat for Christmas, and he hits someone in the head with it in order to save one of the neighbor kids' lives, he wouldn't be using the bat in the way I intended it, but I wouldn't think that it was wrong for him to use it that way because he did something good with it. In fact, I'd be proud of him for saving the life of another kid in the neighborhood. The point of the objection here would be to say that even though I didn't buy the bat so that my son could hit people in the head with it, my son appropriated that gift in a way that was appropriate at the time. Perhaps lying can be like that. Perhaps God doesn't intend for us to use our speech to lie, but there are certain situations like lying in order to save a life where lying is appropriate. However, for Augustine, this takes lying too lightly. It doesn't see the full importance of telling the truth. Being truthful is the virtue which allows you to recognize the truth about your own condition. This is a necessary first step in your salvation. It is also the first step in dealing with your sin as a believer. If you are not honest, then you can't progress on the journey of sanctification. That journey relies on your being honest with yourself and your being able to recognize those areas in your life where you need improvement. Augustine does not see the lie as simply one among many sins. The lie is a foundational sin. In fact, at one point he says, all sin is a lie. By this he appears to mean that since sin is fundamentally the willful choosing of temporary goods, even though we know those temporary goods are not really good for us, we still choose them anyway. In this sense, we can lie to ourselves. We can allow for our desires to overtake our intellect and will so that they become twisted into believing that things that are bad for us are really good for us. Taking the gift that God has given us and using it for our own purposes reveals in us a fundamental lack of regard for our Creator. When we lie, we act as if truth is our own to do with as we please. This is utterly repulsive to Augustine. How can we think that God, who is truth, would allow us to get away with treating his giving of himself as if it were something that we could run through the mud? While God has given us whatever truth we have, it is not ours to do with as we please. The truth is given to us so that we might benefit from it and so that we might benefit others with it. It is one of the most precious gifts that we can give to others in the spirit of love. If all of this is true, then does this leave us in a social predicament I mentioned earlier? Does this mean that we should go around telling people they smell or that we don't like them? Not necessarily. Augustine believes that we have other ways of being gracious that don't involve lying. One of those graces comes from the nature of thought itself. Our thoughts are not in the form of a language. Thoughts transcend language, for Augustine. Language is used to translate thought into a physical medium, and this is evidenced by the fact that many languages can be used to signify the same thought. With this in mind, we convey our thoughts in a variety of ways. Technically, you're not lying as long as what you say does not contradict what you think. The wise or skillful person can formulate his or her thoughts in such a way as to both be truthful and graceful. What this requires is a reflective thoughtfulness and a love for the person with which you are speaking. It may also require a quick wit. Humor can often be employed to diffuse a situation. Now, diverting the conversation may also be an alternative depending on the situation. There is a limit to this, however. You cannot change the normal use of words to make them mean whatever you want to mean in order to avoid lying. So you can't tell Joe that he sounds like an opera singer and then change the meaning of the words opera singer in your own mind. So I can't say to Joe, "Joe, you sound like an opera singer," and by opera singer I mean Wounded Monkey. I hope Joe is still friends with me. another tool you have is silence. For Augustine, it's never a lie when you don't say anything. Again, because a lie requires speech. Contrary to those who say that to say nothing is to be in agreement, silence is a good way to avoid lying. You can also say things like, I would rather not comment. That's been pretty helpful for me. yeah. So there are many ways to remain graceful without lying. And I'm not sure that I agree with Augustine when it comes to the universal ban on lying, but even if he's wrong about that, he brings a sobriety to the issue that few people today do. Even if we think that it's okay to lie sometimes, we should take very seriously the wrongness of it before we give ourselves license to do it. We usually give ourselves way too much license to distort the truth. This is especially true in a culture whose highest value is to not offend anyone. I don't think that we need to go out of our way to offend anyone, but we do need to grow up and stop being so easily offended. We also need to stop being so worried about offending others. If our love for each other is genuine, we can withstand some verbal bumps and bruises. In fact, a big part of what holds us back from having deeper relationships is our lack of honesty with each other. We go years without telling someone how we feel or what we think for fear that they might not like us if we say it. So then every time that touchy subject comes up, we avoid it and never mend the relationship. Because our fear of offending people, we leave huge rifts in the relationship that keep us from loving each other in the way that Christ called us to love each other. Having deep and abiding relationships with people is messy. We get angry with each other. We disagree with each other. We say things to each other that we later regret. But we stick together because of our common love of Christ and because we have invested in each other. A relationship that does not involve investment and honesty is not a genuine relationship. You may be able to get together with others and have a good time, go golfing, paintballing, whatever, but you are not true friends until you can be honest with each other and still be friends. God longs for us to be honest with Him in our prayers. He can handle messiness and awkwardness. In fact, He demands that we lay ourselves bare before Him. If we do not do this, we will never be a friend of God. Our lack of honesty is very often the cause of our superficial prayers. God, I thank you for this food, without being truly thankful, is superficial. Our speech must reflect what our mind and our must accurately reflect our mind and our heart. If that happens, you will be in a position to spot your own superficiality. You will see when you're just going through the motions because you have diligently trained yourself so that your speech and your thoughts are in agreement. What I'd like to challenge everyone with this week is to try to be very cognizant of what you say to people. Try this for at least 1 week. When you say something, if you suspect that you aren't being entirely honest, stop speaking. Think about what you're saying and make sure that what you're saying is truthful. Pray that God would make it apparent to you when you're being disingenuous. Be mindful of what you're trying when you're trying to manipulate people. A lot of times, we give arguments for things, and we don't even care if the arguments that we're giving are true. We just throw them out there to manipulate people. Recognize when you're using an argument in this way, rather than helping them come to a knowledge of the truth. So if we can pray, and then we'll go into a time of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this congregation, this group of people with whom I'm able to speak and interact with and love. Let's pray that you would help us to learn to speak truth, or to be cognizant and aware of our intentions, our own thoughts. I pray that you'd give us discernment and shine light on the areas in which we need improvement, Lord. That you'd help us to sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron, and help us to grow together, Lord, in love and in respect. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. What I'd like to do now for the next 10 minutes, we have communion coming. But if you guys can break up into groups, you need at least two for a group. But anything beyond that is acceptable. And if you guys can just reflect a little bit on maybe some area in your life that you need improvement on, and then ask somebody with you to pray with you about that. It doesn't have to be something embarrassing or whatever, but just something that you could be working on and that someone else can pray for you with. So if you guys want to go ahead and do that for about 10 minutes, and then I'll call us back for communion.